you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this privilege once again to assemble in your house, knowing that we don't have much time left, Father, knowing the world is squeezing, Lord, and just the pressure is on, but yet there's still a fight going on, Father, and not knowing and not having recognized years ago when we thought about the mark of the beast, we thought it'd be so imminent and so forceful, but yet, Lord, we see it just, it's been a war, it's been a battle, and yet, Father, we know that we will not surrender. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would take us out of here before it comes to that point. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to just show you some things and before we go to our sermon tonight. And this particular article here is from the World Health Organization. And this is the practical considerations and recommendations for religious leaders and faith-based communities in the context of COVID-19. In other words, they've gone to the World Council of Churches and all the church religions, and not just the World Council of Churches, but you know all the world religions, and they said, hey, we got to have your help. We need your assistance. We need you to push this vaccine. Okay, I don't have time to read the whole thing. If anybody would like a copy of it, just ask me and I'll send it to you. This here is also, I don't know how to get out of here. Let me see. Well, apparently I can't. Let me see. Okay. Anyway, back in March 21st of 2021, I preached a sermon in which I read Brother Branham's quote on the mark of the beast, some of the things we even talked about today. But what I wanted to show you is that if you take all the world leaders, beginning with the Pope of Rome, Pope Francis suggested that people have a moral obligation to receive one of the new coronavirus vaccines as soon as possible, revealing in a new interview that he expects to get his own first dose this week. I believe that morally everyone must take the vaccine, the Pope said in January 10th interview. And now we, I'm not going to take the time to read them all, but then let's go down. The Russian Orthodox Church says refusal to be vaccinated against COVID-19 is a sin. All right, that's the Russian Orthodox Church warned that those who refuse to be vaccinated against COVID-19 are committing a sin. They will have to repent for the rest of their lives. But there is also the principle of people's responsibility for the lives of other people, although the Greek Orthodox Church has formally endorsed COVID-19 vaccines. Okay. World Council of Churches says that we must combat misinformation in their indoctrination of everybody against the against resisting. They call it, resistors, World religious leaders call for massive increase in production of COVID vaccines and to end the vaccine nationalism. From Christian Aid, 145 religious leaders, including Cardinal Peter Turkson from the Catholic Church, former Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams, and Dr. Thabo Magopa, the Anglican Archbishop of Cape Town, have released a statement as part of a campaign which is also supported by the Dalai Lama. And basically, they're united to call for the steps necessary to produce and distribute enough COVID vaccine for the global population. It makes the moral case that it is not right that countries in the global north are hoarding vaccines while low and middle income countries are barely getting doses. So for anybody listening out there that's government, you can have ours. We don't want it. Give it to the rest of the population that want it. Okay? It says the call for people's vaccine is already backed by past and present world leaders, experts in health, etc. Okay. Reverend Adam Russell Taylor, President Sojourners, Imam Ahmed. These are all people, imams. You got Anglican, you got rabbis, you got the whole works. Okay. Now, I have some things also. Franklin Graham urges, this is from the religionnews.com. Franklin Graham urges evangelicals to get vaccinated before it is too late. Too late for what? Supper? It's like when I went to Ireland, I said, my cousin, he was my mom's cousin, I said, your name is Timothy. May I call you Timmy? He said, you can call me whatever you want, but just don't call me late for breakfast, So, all right. So, from Newsweek, prominent evangelical Christian leader Franklin Graham once again urged hesitant Americans to get vaccinated against COVID-19. From NCR Online, Pope Francis suggested that people have a moral obligation to receive one of the new coronavirus vaccines as soon as possible. The Chicago Catholic said Pope Francis, morally, everyone must take the vaccine. From American magazine, the Vatican seeks all-out effort to combat vaccine hesitancy. From NPR, how Israel persuaded reluctant ultra-Orthodox Jews to get vaccinated against COVID. Rabbi Yitzhak Yosef said COVID-19 vaccines are mandatory according to Jewish law. That must be a new insert. Must be a new translation. Rabbi Meyer Mazuz, head of the Yeshivat Kisai Rehamim, argued that any allegations against the vaccine were built on imaginary evidence. Well, imagine that. An imam, that's a Muslim, Imam Sunni, ulama, and scholars, both medical experts and Islamic scholars, have researched the three COVID-19 vaccines and declared they are halal, permissible. So you've got them, and I haven't done the Hindus, but I'm sure they do because all of India is for it. So as you see, the world religions are making it a big issue. You have to. You have a moral obligation, or you might kill somebody if you don't get the vaccine. You might kill somebody. Well, you know, if they're getting the vaccine, they're supposed to be immune, right? So what are they afraid of? What are they afraid of? You see, it's become, as Brother Branham said, they can't do it. They can't unite on religion, so they've got to find another means. And he said it'll be politics. And this is a totally political, it's not even a scientific thing. It's a political thing to get people to do it. So that's all we're going to talk about tonight. No, we have a sermon. So that's where we're at. All you have to do is look at the 7 or 8 scriptures in Revelation about the mark of the beast, see the identifiable characteristics. You can't buy, you can't sell. What are the others? They worship, as we mentioned this morning. They will hold the things of man above the things of God. There's not a whole lot other there than, and then to see that all the religions are pushing for it, which tells you one thing. There's got to be something wrong with it if they're all pushing for it. Because they are all the religions that crucify the Word of God afresh. Okay, so tonight we're going to do something a little bit more light. And yeah, I've already got it. And what I'm going to look at, or what we're looking at tonight, is the Unveiling Guide number 227, 70 Divine Promises of God for Holy Ghost Believers. And there's actually about 800. I've given you all the book, you know, where there's 800 of them. But I just want to look at 70 tonight and just kind of get our minds off this other stuff. Okay. So this evening, before we take communion foot washing, I would like to take a simple message full of God's promises for you, His elect. Brother Brown said from his sermon, Time of Decision, he said, every true servant of God that's sent out has got a whole book full of divine promises that he can offer to the bride. I'm so glad of that. He's got gifts in there for her, and he will not hold any of them back. He will get every one of them clearly or cleanly. A true servant, a model servant, a servant of God that can put trust in, he won't try to hide it back from her because he knows that she is the oncoming queen. Oh, there is no good thing withheld from them that walks uprightly before him. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will, and it shall be given to you. The book's full of it, and every promise in the book is yours, you, the bride. And he also said that the very reason why God has come down in this hour is to release our desires that we have in him back to us from presence of God unrecognized. He said, if we could only realize that he's appearing to us in these meetings for one purpose, and that's to release our desires that we have in him to us. But we've got to recognize his presence. And now how you recognize his presence is when the promised word for this age is made manifest. Not the promised word for Moses' age or any other age, the promise of the word for this age. And from his sermon entitled Love, he said, I say this tonight as a minister of the gospel, and I've seen it tried. I've had the privilege of preaching around the world and before tens of thousands of people, and every divine promise in the Bible is true. And if you take the right mental attitude towards any of God's divine promises, it will bring it to pass. If you can take the right mental attitude. So with that in mind, I have a list of 70 divine promises of God to his elect children, filled with his Spirit. And now, this is by no means all of the divine promises of God, just 70 of them. We've given out books on over 800 promises of God to us. If anybody doesn't have a copy, I still have some. But tonight, we'll just take 70 of them. So let's just begin. Number one, the first benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Ghost is Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes all understanding, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. In other words, every divine attribute that is in God is in that little spoonful that you have. All right. Number two, the second benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, and the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. So what happens when they got the Holy Ghost? They spake the Word of God with boldness. They didn't hold back. Now, we're all aware that this was in the days, as it was in the days of Noah, when only 8 souls were saved from around 6 billion people that were on earth. As we read in 1 Peter 3:20, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. So we know that salvation also is one of those things that is for us. Now, this evening, before we go to communion table and take foot washing, I would like to speak again on the positive note of those things believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Brother Branham said from what the Holy Ghost is given for, he said, each person sitting here is filled with something. He doesn't say what they're filled with. You know, I've heard people say, oh, you're just full of, you know, whatever. Then I'm going to close. I may have to after that. You're filled with something. You can't sit there without being full of something. Now, let me give you some examples from the Bible of things you might be filled with. Number three, the third benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Ghost is Colossians 1:9. For this cause, we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In fact, there's a quote where Brother Branham said, I would rather have the spirit of wisdom than to have healing, because he said, we all want our bodies to be healed, but he said to get somebody saved is far greater than that. So, number four, the fourth benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, of right wiseness, which are by Jesus Christ under the glory and praise of God. Number five, the fifth benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with what? With joy. And with the Holy Ghost. Because in the presence of the Lord is what? Fullness of joy. So if you're getting your joy from ball games or from whatever, you're getting it from the wrong place. The sixth benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Seventh benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 7:4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you, great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulations. We should actually, remember Brother Brown knocked 7 times, said there's relaxation under the 7th seal. We should all be the most relaxed people, and we should be filled with comfort, filled with joy, filled with peace unspeakable and full of glory. We shouldn't have a care in this life. And if you're worried about a silly virus, and I say silly, it is a germ warfare. Don't get me wrong. I preached on the germ warfare. Brother Ram told us it come. The Bible told us it come. It is germ warfare. But don't worry about it. If you have a good immune system, it's not killing more than 1 in 1,000 people, and usually it's the older people, people that have, people with diabetes, people overweight, people that have a chronic condition of some sort, all right? But we also have the great physician. Amen. Who now is here, the sympathizing Jesus. Amen. If you're going to go to a physician, go to him. The seventh benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is 2 Corinthians 7:4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glory in you. And I am, I already said that, and I am filled with comfort. Okay, so we should have comfort. The eighth benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is Romans 15:14. And I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. In other words, you don't back down. You just, if you're going to admonish, it means to correct them. You know, bring them back to the Word. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first of all pure, then it's peaceable, and it's gentle, and it's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So there's really about five or six right there. Okay. The ninth benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is Acts 6:8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. All right, that's Mark 16, that's John 14:12, etc. Luke 4:1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And that's another promise of God, that we, sons of God, will be led by His Spirit. The tenth benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit, Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. In other words, the Word. In other words, as Brother Brown said, all my thoughts are of God. Now he continues in paragraph 75. You've got a life in you. That life governs you. And that life is governed by a spirit. Now you might be full of the world, loving the world or the things of the world. God be merciful to you. You might be full of creeds from some church, some little prayers that you say, something that's going to, or pray to some dead person, or make some kind of a sign of cross across you. God be merciful to you. And you may be full of religion, and that's worse yet. That's right. The Bible said in the last days they'd be very religious, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And remember, the power of God is the Word of God unto salvation. That's Romans 1:18. From such turn away, it says. If you're full of religion, you're miserable. Just religious, that's all. If you're full of creeds, you don't know what you're talking about. If you're full of the Word, if you're full of the world, you're blind. So remember, he said, I'm going to tell you, everybody in here is full of something. Now, either you're full of joy and full of the Holy Ghost, or you're full of misery, full of religion, full of all these other things. So as you can see, we are full of something. So let our filling be His Word and His Spirit and His life is my prayer. Now, Luke 11:34 tells us, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is also full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy whole body is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Look, in other words, if you are listening to the tapes, and I would recommend in this hour on a daily basis, if you're listening to them and you're tuning out the world, you're not going to be fearful, because the ever-present God, who is the healer of all thy diseases, is with you. Don't be listening to all of this stuff going on. Oh, this person's got it, and this person's got it, and they're in the message, and this person's got it, and this person. Forget it! Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And as He spake, a certain Pharisee besought Him to dine with him, and He went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now, do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inwards are full of ravening and wickedness. So, you've either got full of joy, full of peace, full of His Word, full of the Holy Ghost, or you're full of ravening, full of wickedness, full of misery, full of discomfort, whatever. James 3:8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Acts 13:10. And he said, O full of all subtlety, and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord? So these people weren't full of the Holy Ghost. They weren't full of righteousness. They were full of all subtlety. Matthew 23 and 28. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Matthew 6, 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is thy darkness? Okay. Now we've seen both sides of the issue this evening, that you are either being filled with light or darkness, life or death, joy and peace or mourning and sadness. Now let's look at how we are filled with light. And I wish to speak this evening on the positive side and show you the blessings and benefits of those who are filled with His Holy Spirit. 75, continue. And then again, you may be full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I hope you are. And if you're not, I hope that you get full. And if you're full of the Holy Ghost, what you got? You've got power. You've got love. You've got peace. My peace I'll give you, not as the world giveth, I you. You got peace. You're sealed. You got a sign. Amen. You got rest. You got joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're anchored. Oh my. That's what you are with the Holy Ghost. If you got full of the Holy Ghost, you have passed from death unto life, waiting for the general resurrection in the last day. Okay? So we have read from God's prophet and scriptures many things that you can be full of. We have an old expression, when we don't believe what someone is telling us, we say, you're full of it. And that means that you could be full of a lot of things that are not pleasant that you're full of. But Brother Branham is telling us here that if you are full of the Holy Ghost, then you are full of love, because God is love. And Brother Branham says, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you are full of power, because God's spirit is supernatural. And if you have His Spirit living in you, then your life will manifest His supernatural power. And he says, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you will be full of peace. And Brother Branham taught us that in order to be a believer, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. From Brother Branham, what he said in the message, who is this? He said, no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I believe it because the Word says so. Well, that's true. But the Word says that no man can say Jesus is Christ until you have received the Holy Ghost. No man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. And from his sermon, Why Christ Speak, Brother Branham says, Jesus said, the works that I do, he that believeth on me, St. John 14, 12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. He that believeth on me. No man can believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God until he received the Holy Ghost. You're only taking it by faith and accepting it. You can't say that it is. You can say, well, I believe it is. But no man can call Jesus the Christ until the Holy Ghost is in him. The Bible says so. The Holy Spirit has to come in first. Then it gives a witness, and you know yourself that Jesus is the Christ because he lives in you. Okay? So therefore, John 14, 12 does not apply to church members. It applies to Holy Ghost-filled people. Therefore, in the scriptural phase, he that believeth in me, there are 19 New Testament scriptures where Jesus uses the phrase, he that believeth in me, in speaking of the believer. And remember, he that believeth in me, you can't be a believer unless you got the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost believer who believes in me. And then there's 19 promises. Therefore, in each of these verses concerning the believer, which are those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, God has given certain promises to his church, and he is not a man that he would lie concerning promises that he has made. Now, this evening, to pick up where, let me just go to number 11. Number 11, the 11th benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is that to do so will destroy the works of the devil against you, which works is unbelief. And we found the very first promise of God concerning those who believe in His Son is to cancel out all unbelief from us. In our study last week, in 1 John 3 and 8, John tells us, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Now, in John 6, 29, that the work of God is to believe on Him whom God has sent, and thus the works of the devil are to get us not to believe on the one God has sent. So, we see that to destroy the works of the devil is to destroy within us any ability to disbelieve God's word. And that is our very first benefit we have received from the revelation of the doctrine of Christ and as a Holy Ghost believer. The 12th benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Ghost is that we are brought into such a relationship with God Himself that he comes into us and we come into him, and we are baptized with the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Now, you know, this, what I'm presenting tonight is, it's not really a sermon material. It's more of a study material. So just take these things, print them off, and just study these different benefits for you. Just like you have the books, you know, and the books have a little index. And so if you've got a certain issue, you know, you want to look up prayers, you want to look up scripture for that, they're in the book, okay? Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. 1 John 4:15, whosoever shall confess, you know, which means to say the same thing, that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Number 13, the 13th benefit to us concerning being filled with the Spirit is that we have eternal life. 1 John 5:12, he that echoes the Son echoes life, and he that echoes not the Son echoes not life. So the very fact that you're echoing Christ's life shows that you do possess it, or you do echo him. John 20:31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. John 5:25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is come, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. 14, the 14th benefit of being filled with the Holy Spirit is to know that we have life. You know, it's one thing to have life and not know it. It's another thing to have it and know it. All right? So there's a difference. And you can't have peace unless you do know that you know. All right? So in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now remember, we read earlier that one of those benefits is to he that echoes Christ, or he that echoes the Son echoes his life. Okay? Now he's saying, now this is another benefit, that you may know that you have eternal life. Why? Because it brings assurance, it brings comfort, it brings rest. The 15th benefit is to be brought in, is the Holy Spirit brings us into his presence. In 1 John 4:15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not ye even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his parousia? You see, that should be our joy and our crown of rejoicing. Number 16, we're given the power to overcome the world. 1 John 5:5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Number 17, we're given a special witness within ourselves of this relationship. In 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God echoes the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. 18th benefit, we're given an understanding, or the ability to understand. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. It's getting pretty warm in here. Can you check that and maybe turn it down to sub-zero? Go put it down to maybe 64. Is anybody else hot? I'm very hot. We're not getting much circulation up here. Okay. Luke 22:70. Then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. Okay. The 19th benefit to us is a positive confession. In 2 Corinthians 1:19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who has preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. In other words, you got a positive confession. People say, well, you know, the prophet missed this, he's vindicated. That's my yay. He's vindicated. You're not. So just shut up. He's vindicated. You're not. I don't want to hear it. I don't care to hear all these Tom, Dick, and Harrys out there that are not vindicated, that are Trinitarians and claim to be Jewish. How can you be a Jewish Trinitarian? It's an oxymoron. But they are. Oh, I was a great Jew, and now I'm a Trinitarian. Oh, yes. So does that make sense? You backslid to heathenism? Paganism?
I've told people that do that. They listen to those guys. I said, don't you listen to it. It's going to take you out. It took them out. What can you say? Okay. The 20th benefit concerning our being filled with the Holy Spirit is that you are given power to lay down your life as the Son of God laid down His life, and thus you begin this through being baptized into that name, and thus ending your old life and beginning a new one created in Christ Jesus. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living, yet it's not me living, but it's Christ living in me. Acts 8:37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so we see that Philip actually brought conversion to a Ethiopian eunuch. Okay. 21st benefit is it gives you boldness to speak this revelation everywhere and to everyone. Hebrews 4:14, seeing that then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And Acts 9:20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, and he is the Son of God. Now, how many of you have the guts? If the Holy Ghost told you to go to the local Baptist or Methodist or even Catholic church and to preach to them, would do it? Oh, you women say, well, you know what, I won't because I'm a woman. But you are to testify your faith before all men. Listen, when I came to this message, I was still in college. And a friend of mine, he was going through that. He wanted to become a Lutheran minister, and he had a good friend that was a Catholic priest at the Newman Center. And he said, I'd like you to meet him. I said, well, that's fine. I'll meet anybody. We went in, sat down, and he said, well, you have any questions concerning the faith? I said, yeah, I have one question for you. How can Mary be the mother of God when God's infinite and she's a finite being? He said, get out of here. That's fine. I'll leave. Why should I be afraid of some guy because he's got a turned-around collar? Because he's got his underwear showing through his shirt. The 22nd benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Ghost is that it brings protection to us from the wrath of man. Well, wouldn't that be this COVID stuff, the wrath of man? Daniel 3:25, and he answered, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I believe with all my heart that God will protect anyone who calls on Him for protection in His name. The problem is people will run to the doctor and ask the doctor for protection, which is, to me, blasphemy. The 23rd benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is that it brings us into the unity of the faith. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 24th benefit to us is it allows us to live by the same faith that Jesus lived by. And remember, the just shall live by faith. And of course, we're looking at Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm alive. I'm living. But it's actually Christ living in me. The life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith, the revelation, the same revelation He lived by. And that's it, brother, sister. You've got to die to yourself. When you're dead to yourself, you don't care if you get the vaccine or not, because it's not going to hurt you. You're dead. Right? So who's living in you? Either you're living in you or Christ living in you. Take your pick. Romans 3:28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by revelation, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 2:38, then Peter saith unto him, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The 25th benefit to us concerning our being filled with the Holy Spirit is that it protects us from the wrath of God. Hebrews 10:29, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You know, it says it will protect us from the wrath of God. So we have the wrath of man, we have the wrath of God. I'd rather stand up against the wrath of man than the wrath of God any time. Now I'm going to tell you something. You're going to see in the next year or so millions of people dying. I believe it with all my heart. Because they've chosen man's way. And the wrath of God is coming on man. And the plagues of God are coming on man. And so people are going to be even more fearful in 2022 than they are in 2021 and 2020. The ramping of the fear is going to get greater and greater and greater and greater and greater. And if you're not in Christ, you're going to be a nutcase. You'll be a nutcase. So you better get your eyes turned on Jesus. We are here. It's not down the road anymore. We are here. The 26th benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Ghost is that it keeps us from falling away from the faith, the same faith that Jesus had. Hebrews 6:6, if they shall fall away to renew again unto repentance, seeing that they crucified unto themselves the Son of God afresh, put him to an open chain. Now you say, how do I know I'm not going to fall away? Well, if you're thinking that, you probably will. But if he's given you his Holy Spirit, and you know you got your Holy Spirit, I mean, if he's given you life, and you know you have life, how are you going to fall away? It's Christ in you, right? Willing and doing. It's impossible. Look at all the people that have fallen away from this message over the last few years. Did you? No. Do you have any inkling to? No. Then are you? No. Why? I'm sealed in until the day of my redemption. The 27th, and that's another benefit, but we didn't add it here. The 27th benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Ghost is that it teaches us our future role as kings and priests. For without understanding the relationship between the Father and Son, and that there is indeed a Son who is not the Father, we thus have an example laid down for us in our future roles and relationship with the Father and His creation. Hebrews 7:3, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor ending of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. And of course, we know the scripture says that we are kings and priests. All right. Number 28, the 28th benefit to us concerning our being filled with the Holy Spirit is that we indeed see what God sees and bear record to his record. John 1:34, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And of course, we have the witness of the Spirit in Romans, etc. The 29th benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit, we see in John 1:49, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said that unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Brother, sister, we have seen more things. We saw them in Brother Branham's ministry, but we're seeing them continuing today. And if you're not seeing the supernatural of God in your life, I'd be worried. Because there's hardly a person in here that I've talked to that has not seen the supernatural of God acting in their life. Now, the 30th benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is that it keeps you from blaspheming God. It's impossible to blaspheme God. Because to blaspheme is blepthophema. It means to speak evil against. John 10:36. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. It's impossible. 31st benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is that we are promised resurrection, which is redemption in full. Because it has to do with these bodies that we are identified with. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Well, I want you to put yourself in her place. If Jesus were standing there and telling you, and said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, believest thou this? What are you going to say? Well, I hope so. If you do, you missed it. I know so because you just told me that. Now, it's up to you to keep me alive. It's up to God to keep you through the resurrection time. Or to bring you up during the resurrection time. And whatever happens in between then and now doesn't matter. If you're supposed to be there, you'll be there. The 32nd benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Ghost is that we are promised healing through His name.
John 11:4, when Jesus heard these things, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." You get sick, instead of running to the doctor, send me a message, send it to a brother or sister, ask, send a message out, pray for me, and watch what God does. Watch what God will do. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So the more righteous men that you can get a hold of, or women, and ask them to intercede on your behalf, you just watch for a good testimony of the presence of God still in the midst of healing. Okay? The 33rd benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Ghost is that we no longer are under the law and therefore no longer able to be punished by death. Oh God, thank you. John 19:7. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." You see, they were under the law, like the rabbi says. Boy, what a rabbi. Any allegation of Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef. COVID-19 vaccines is mandatory according to the Jewish law. What Jewish law? Scripture verse, please. Good grief. Making the Word of God a none effect by their traditions. Jewish law, Jewish shema. That irritates me. You know, that's why I think maybe the 144,000, they'll be, you know, they're going to kill them. Probably because they don't get the shot. You know, I'm just joking, but that's about the mentality of it today. They're getting evil out there. They're getting very vile and radical and everything else. You know, they think that if you don't get the shot, that you somehow hate humanity. No, I love humanity. That's why I'm not getting it. You people that are getting the shot out there are the ones who hate humanity, because you now are the spreaders of the spike proteins. Yes, you people out there that are getting the vaccines are the spreaders, because that's all it is a spike protein medical treatment. It gives you the spike proteins that you didn't have before. That's what it does. Read it up. Read up on these things. Don't take MSNBC or CNN. I mean, these people, look, they get 300,000 views in the world. Wow. Not too many. I think there's probably 2 million people playing tapes every day of William Branham. The 34th benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is that we will not come into the judgment. John 3:18, "He that believeth on him that is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And remember, "He that believeth on me shall not come to the judgment." That's tribulation. 35th benefit to us is that we're given eyes to see. John 9:35, "Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And Jesus said, For judgment have I come into this world, but they which see might see, and they which see might be made blind." And I think I showed you, and I've got a picture of it. James Phillips sent me. Brother Bram had actually hand drawn out on a piece of paper and showed the Pharisee, and how, you know, he was all white on the outside, but one little black speck inside. And the woman at the well, she was all black on the outside, but she had one little speck of white in her. And when the word struck both those seeds, they manifested what that seed was. His was black, and he turned all black. He became a murderer. He became break the law just to put Jesus in jail. They broke, I don't know how many laws, to crucify Jesus. And then the little woman at the well, she became whiter and whiter and whiter and whiter and whiter. Washed by the washing water by the word. See? 36th benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is that we are given power to conceive the Word of God. Luke 1:35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost has come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God." How many of you in here have the Son of God born in you? I hope you do. The 37th benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is that we will know our lineage runs back to God. Luke 3:38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we should be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He truly is. Number 38, we receive power of the spoken word, but we'll only use it when the Father shows us to use it. Luke 4:3, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he said, it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So, you know, Jesus said, the Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father do. That doeth the Son likewise. All right, John 7, he said, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. The 39th benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is that we're given power to cast out devils. Luke 4:41. And the devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, thou art the Christ, Son of God, and rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Luke 8:28. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Mark 3:11, and the unclean spirit, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. And Matthew 8:29, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before our time? So anything that took place in his life should be taking place in yours, if you have the same spirit in you. The 40th benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is that we are given power to overcome temptation to exalt self. But as an obedient son, we'll only do what the Father's will. Matthew 4:3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And remember, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. I don't care how hungry I am. I'm not going to fall down and worship you. I'm not going to give you worship. Matthew 4:6, and he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot. And verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from the temple. And remember, then Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So it all comes back to the word, word, word. The devil's got word, but you've got to have a word to match that. 41st benefit concerning us being filled with the Holy Spirit is that it is the very beginning of the good news and that God has given us, and you can't get to first base without it, as Brother Ram said. Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of a new life. It's the beginning of a life in Christ. It's the beginning of our walk with Him. It's the beginning of walk in the light as He is in the light. The 42nd benefit allows you to be able to identify what is happening in the world and tie it back to the revelation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Mark 15:39, when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, this man truly was the Son of God. See, his eyes were open, he recognized. Matthew 27:54, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Now, if a man can see those things that didn't have the Holy Ghost, what about you that do? Remember, Brother Branham said, when you have the Holy Ghost, you'll see what he sees. You'll see what he says. The 43rd benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is that we are able to worship him. Matthew 14:33, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. The 44th benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Ghost is that you're able to see him coming in the clouds of heaven, which we have. God's great picture of his Son flashed across the heavens. Matthew 26:63. But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. The 45th benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit, that you will be able to understand that God was in Christ and that God raised up Christ. Matthew 27:40, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. In Matthew 27:43, he trusted in God. Let him deliver himself him now, if he will have him. For he saith, I am the Son of God. See, they didn't realize that Jesus was talking about his temple. He said, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. And he did. And he was raised up on the third day. The 46th benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is that you will be given discernment to know right from wrong, and those who are righteous from those who are wicked. Revelation 2:18. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like unto brass. Also Malachi, the third chapter. Then they which spake often one to another, the Lord hearkened, heard it, and a book of remembrance is written of them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I shall assemble the people. And they shall come forth and discern between the righteous, the rightly wise, and the wicked, between them that serve God and them that serve him not. Okay. The 47th benefit to us concerning being filled with the Holy Spirit is that you will be able to live a life of holiness, one that is sanctified through his name and through his atoning blood. Because remember, if you have the Holy Spirit, then there's a holy life living in you. Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. It's not, Lord, perfect me, I did a sin, I'm sorry, perfect me. It's already done. You might sin. And I like the way Brother Vail put it when Paul said, the Lord does not impute iniquity to them. Brother Vail said, now that don't mean you didn't do it. You just don't get credit for it. And I like that. Jude 101, Jude the servant of Jesus Christ and brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, not by yourself, and preserved, oh, I love that word, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. There are other scriptural promises as well to all believers that are filled with the Holy Spirit, because Brother Brown taught us that you are not a believer unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The 48th benefit then is Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And remember, the 49th benefit, okay, is John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. None of you have perished. COVID's come through. None of you have perished. You see? The 50th benefit, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, means you got the Holy Ghost, him in you believing, should not perish but have everlasting life. 51st, John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. No condemnation to them that are in Christ. 52nd benefit, John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life, echoes everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. 53rd benefit to us, John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The 54th benefit to us is John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me echoes everlasting life. 55th, John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's beautiful. 56th, John 11:25, Jesus saith unto them, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. 57th, John 12:44, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. In other words, you believe God's in charge of it all. Jesus just followed his plan. 58th benefit, John 12:46, I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. We are not, people, we are not gullible. We are not blind to what's going on. Our eyes are wide open. We've known these things coming since 97. I preached back in 97 about the germ warfare coming. And now it's upon us. 59th benefit, John 14:12, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. 60th benefit, Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth, everyone who believes in him shall receive remission of sins. We're sinless. We're the sinless bride of Christ. Doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. We all make mistakes. That's not sin. Sin is disbelief. The 61st benefit, Romans 9:33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and a rock of offense, and whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. No sense to hold your head down. Your sons of God. The 62nd benefit, Romans 10:11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The 63rd benefit, 1 Peter 2:6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. In other words, you're not confused either. You know, mask works one week, it don't work the next week, it works the next week, it don't work the next week. You're not confused about it. It never did work. Right? But the experts say, don't need the mask because it's not effective. 2 weeks later, you've got to have the mask. 2 weeks after that, you've got to have two masks. Maybe three masks. Then, oh, it's okay. Now, we don't need the mask anymore. Oh, now it's August. Oh, yeah, there's a new variant. We need the mask. Well, what's a new variant? See, it's not a new strain. A strain is a completely different creature altogether. It's a completely different virus altogether. It's a new variant. What does that mean? It means it's just got a few little proteins changed. That's all. It's the same thing, and you're still immune to it. Yeah. And what's causing the new variant? What's causing it? It's not a new virus. You know what the new variant is? It's the vaccine produces spike proteins. The spike protein they're calling a variant. It's not a variant. It's a spike protein. Why don't they call it for what it is? It's not a variant of the vaccine of the virus, because there was never any virus in the vaccine. It's spike protein. That's what was causing people to have illnesses in the COVID, was the spike protein it produced. And so they manufactured a product that will give you that spike protein. So you don't need to get a virus. You now have the spike protein, and your body is churning out little spike proteins, and you are now shedding it to others. That's your variant. But if you've already had that flu that went through, because that's all it is, it's a flu, and if you already had that, you're immune. Or if you're not immune, then you're saying, well, God's genetic building blocks in our body is no good. So I've got to have man's genetic building block, a gene therapy that'll make me transhuman. Human 2.0. Well, forget that nonsense. People don't use their minds. The 63rd benefit, 1 Peter 2:6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Okay, 64th, 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth on Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So I'm born of God. I'm a son of God. 65th, 1 John 5:5. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. You are the overcomers. 66. He that believeth, 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness, echoes the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. The 67th benefit, 1 Peter 1:7. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Remember, you are kept by the power of God, by the word of God. You're kept. That's what keeps you from falling after this stuff. And, of course, what is the power of God? Romans 1:18, the word. John 17:12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Listen, it's not enough that God saves you, but he also keeps you. The 68th benefit to us concerning is John 17:20. Neither pray for these alone, but for all also them which believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, the doxa, the opinions, values, and judgment which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. You have his opinions, his values, his judgment. You're one with him. And the 69th benefit, John 17:23, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. Being in his presence, and when his presence leaves the earth, guess what? You go with him. Now, that's one of the greatest benefits of being a born-again believer. And the 70th benefit concerning us that are filled with the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians 15:51, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Are you soldiers of the cross? Are you unmovable? Are you steadfast? Well, in North Carolina, they're going around the needle brigade, or going around the needles, and guess what? They've got a military man with each one of them. They got their guns. Are you going to buckle down when they come to your door and say, roll up your sleeve and take the shot? Or are you going to tell them, look, you're breaking the Fourth Amendment, get off my property? Stand fast in the Lord. Now, this is not a complete list of all the divine promises of God, but we just don't have time to go into all of them tonight. We'd be here for a long time. But from hearing him in closing, Brother Bram says, and may I stop here just a moment to say this, and I'll go on record because the recorders are going, that any divine promise of God in God's word, if you take the right mental attitude towards any of God's divine promises, will bring it to pass, regardless of what it is. If God promised it and you show the right mental attitude, God will fulfill his promise to you. That promise is good to anyone who will look at it in that respect. If I write you a letter, you might appreciate that because in it, it would be something that's showing our friendship. But then your neighbor might read that same letter and they wouldn't get nothing out of it because it's not to them. But that's not right. But that's not right in the reading of the Word of God. It's to all of us, whoever will, whosoever will. My letter will run out when you finished your life. But men down through the ages read God's eternal Word, and it's inspired them all through every age. Just as true, just as thrilling tonight as it was the very hour that the scribe Matthew wrote it. And then you can see why, no matter how little the scripture is, how small, it's the context that's in it. It's something that's inspired. So if you would take the right mental attitude, and you might say, what is the right mental attitude? The right mental attitude is, if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Amen? If God said it, it's thus saith the Lord. It's done. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and just help us get our minds, Lord, settled down now. And we just pray, Father, that you would bless us tonight as we partake in the communion and in the foot washing. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Peter. Sarah, would you watch Eli? Instead of John 13 tonight, let's just go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said unto them, Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation or condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to come together in this evening morning. This bread.
I don't have the, I have the only believe, but that's just, Jesus breaks every fetter. You know that one? Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks every fetter. For he sets me free. I am now on the altar. I am now on the altar. I am now on the altar which was made for me. I will never doubt my Savior. I will never doubt my Savior. I will never doubt my Savior. For he cleanses me. I will give God the glory. I will give God the glory. I will give God the glory. For he's given to me. I will rest on his promise. I will rest on his promise. I will rest on his promise, which is given to me.